With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
BangTheBook.com.
Well, what's up, everybody? Thank you for joining me here on this Friday, November 11th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next about hour and 10 minutes or so, hour and 15 minutes, as we go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Happy to have you with me here today. Of course, it is Friday, which means that we've got our Week 10 Westgate Super Contest Selection segment with myself and Cole Ryan, that also chatted last night with Brent from DSI Sportsbook with some thoughts on where the money is in the sharp betting markets for both college football and the NFL. Peel back the layers a little bit on his job, what he does, how he moves the lines around, all that different type of stuff. So really strong segment there with Brent today. A few announcements before we get into those two segments. First and foremost, it is Veterans Day. I want to take a second to thank all of the active and former military personnel that listen to the show, whether it's or then also the friends, family, loved ones, ancestors, whoever it was that served our great nation. Thank you so much to all of you. And not just that, but around the world as well. Canadians, overseas in Europe, Australia, Asia, whatever the case may be. Thank you to all of the veterans out there for doing what you do to ensure freedoms around the world and to preserve our safety. So thank you so much to all of you. I know that there are a few that are listeners of the show. Of course, Cole Ryan himself, also a veteran. So, you know, heartfelt thanks to all of those people out there that have sacrificed so much and for those that continue to sacrifice as well. Over at bangthebook.com, all of this week's Bang the Book Radio content is available there. Segments, full shows, whatever you're looking for. Had a really strong segment yesterday with Jay Primetown of MMAOddsBreaker.com for UFC 205. Definitely want to make sure that you check that out. Also, our Powers Picks segment from yesterday. Earlier in the week, we had Sports Cheeto. We had our Gridiron Gambling Report segment. Brian Leonard also joined the show. Kyle Hunter. Joe Everett of NFL Draft Bible on Monday when we talked about some things that are plaguing NFL teams here this week. You really don't want to miss anything on Bang the Book Radio because we've got you covered. We want to make sure that you are set up for success, whether it's daily with the NBA, the NHL, now college basketball as well, or if it's weekly with college football and the NFL. Want to make sure that you are set up to bang the books. And that's our hope here. That's our goal with this show and also with the content that we produce over at bangthebook.com. Lots of great write-ups. Kyle Hunter's college basketball top 25. The season, of course, kicks off tonight. All of the teams in the top 25 are in action this evening. I've got a preview up of Evansville versus Louisville. We've also got an Arizona-Michigan State preview up at bangthebook.com, so you can go and check those out. Got NHL write-ups, situational articles, game previews for the NFL and for college football, all that stuff going on over there, so make sure that you check that stuff out. Also, the sportsbook reviews. You already know about it. I'm going to tell you again, DSI Sportsbook, promo code BTV Radio, a $10 free bet just for signing up, and an additional 50 to 100% deposit bonus based on the amount of your initial deposit. There's a lot going on right now. College basketball, college football, NHL, NBA, NFL. You know, there's still soccer going on every night, UFC, all kinds of things, baseball in Latin America. So much going on. Odds makers are spread really, really thin. You want to make sure that you have multiple sports books at your disposal to get those half points, full points, reduced juice, whatever the case may be. All of that stuff is really an integral part of bankroll management. And having multiple sports books gives you the opportunity to do that. So if you don't have an account over at DSI, that's who we'd recommend. They're very good friends of the show here. But with those sportsbook reviews, we do have other places that you might be interested in. Galaxy Sports, promo code BTB will get you 100% deposit bonus up to $300 on your first deposit. We've got a promo code for Bookmaker, Five Dimes, BetOnline, Bovada, MyBookie, WagerWeb. They're all out there. Bet any sports, VFBet. They're all out there. All kinds of places for you to get your hard-earned money down. We tell you about how their customer service is, their reliability with payouts, all that stuff in that sportsbook review section over at bangthebook.com. So we encourage you to go check that out. if you are in the market for a new sports book. And again, with so much going on, you want to make sure that you're getting the best bang for your buck, regardless of where you have signed up. So go ahead and get into today's first segment. That is the Week 10 Westgate Super Contest Selection segment with myself and Cole Ryan. 20-25 on the season. Lots of bad luck last week with our 2-3 showing, but still putting in the work. I think we're seeing the games pretty well here. Of course, I can let you decide for yourself. So with that, here is our Week 10 Westgate Super Contest Selection segment. Right, I'm joined by Cole Ryan for our Week 10 Westgate Super Contest Selection segment. Cole, how's it going today, man?
Excellent, my friend. It's a fantastic weekend. Not only Veterans Day, football galore. It's going to be a great, incredible. I can't find any more words to describe what kind of weekend we're about to have.
Yeah, and college basketball, of course, starts on Friday night as well. So lots of things going on here in the sports world. Again, that's not really the purpose of our segment here to talk about this, but bankroll management, critically important. Make sure that you're doing everything you can to make smart investments with your money. In terms of investments, the Westgate Super Contest, a $1,500 buy-in. You can sign up after July 1st, have to sign up before week one. We're in it this year. You already know that if you're listening to this segment probably. But 20-25 on the season for us, our Bang the Book podcast entry. Very disappointing. Last week, 2-3. Among the three games we lost, we had three defensive or special teams touchdowns scored against us. So, you know, bad luck. I think our handicapping has gotten better here over the last 4 weeks. How do you feel that we're doing, you know, despite what the record says?
Well, it almost seems like a jinxed season for us. Whether we're on the same page when the week starts or when the week ends, whether we both like the same picks, it just seems like when football Sunday is here, our texts start off as let's do this, and there's somewhere in our text chain a reply that says, did you see that? Or can you believe that just happened? Or we're going to overtime and we still lost? So it just seems like we're getting a bunch of bad bounces, and again, that's the way the game is played. It's all about just getting right back to work and picking out the games that you like and going at it. And look, we have good picks that just don't seem to be panning out.
Yeah, hopefully we get a little bit of positive regression here going the rest of the way. 45 of the 85 selections of the Westgate Super Contest are in for everyone that's still submitting picks. Last week, week 9, 45.8% for the field. Not great. Field still below 49% on the season. Big reason that things weren't great, Pittsburgh, the number two consensus play, 604 selections. They lost. Denver, who we were also on, the number one consensus play last week, 695 picks. I was stunned, to be honest with you, that Denver was the most popular side last week.
I was floored. And, again, you send me the picks every weekend, and we kind of go a little bit back and forth on them when they come out or the next day at a minimum. And we talk about it, and there's some we can peg, and we always know, and then there's other ones that throw us for a loop. And to me, that one was one that kind of took me aback because I couldn't believe that many people were – completely sold, and we like Denver too, so I'm not going to, you know, throw anybody under the bus or trash the consensus because they do what they do. But that's what this year is all about. You're looking at the consensus, and you're looking for a bad week if you're trying to make up ground, which is what we're trying to do. So I still, as funny as this sounds with our record, I don't think we're at a point where we're just looking to fade the consensus. It would be great if we do, and it would be great if the people above us lost, but right now it's still, in my opinion, all about just picking winners.
Yeah, it really is. And Ryan, our site creator and our fearless leader, he's picking more winners than we are. 25-18-2 on the season. Look at some overall things here. There's a four-way tie for first place with 31.5 points. We got that bad week that we needed last week. The leader going into week 9, Red Wine, just 1-4. So everybody else kind of caught up a little bit. That's why we've got the four-way tie. Top five consensus last week, 1-3-1. Now 15-28-2 on the season. That's under 35%. Consensus last week, 5-7-1. 60-67-3 for the year, 47.24%. Two games, Pittsburgh-Washington week 1, Detroit-Houston week 8, tied with the same number of selections. So we'll turn the page, go to week 10 here. And as I was talking about with you before we started recording, there are a lot of games that we like this week. And with the way that we've been running here in terms of turnover luck, injuries, those types of things, it terrifies me.
And that's what you said, you know, you mentioned, you said, man, we like so many games this week. watch us just pick the wrong ones. And look, that's a good thing. It's better. We've had a lot of weeks where we go, man, this is a shit card, and we just can't find a pick that we like. So we kind of just have to dig deep and find that one number or one angle that gives us the pick we like. This week, we're a bit fortunate. We're kind of trying to narrow it down over picks that we like, and I always think that's a good thing. But you're right. Ultimately, we have to pick the right one.
Well, it's very interesting for me because last week, of the 22 teams that were in action on Sunday, 18 of them had at least 300 selections in the Super Contest. So the picks were very, very spread out last week. Given the fact that you and I like several different plays on the card here this week, I kind of have a sneaking suspicion that things could shake out the same way for this week. So you'll have to see what the pick distribution looks like on Saturday. Of course, you can get our Westgate Super Contest picks, the consensus, and some other notes Saturday afternoon, generally posted around 3 o'clock or so. Selections are due in by 11:30 a.m. Pacific time, so that's why we don't get the article out until 3. But in any event, first game that we're looking at here this week, this one's gone to a full 3 out in the betting market, but it's the New Orleans Saints, 2.5-point favorites here against the Denver Broncos in the Super Contest.
Yeah, the Saints get some, I'll call it breaking news, is that safety Kenny Vaccaro, he's facing a 4-game suspension for violating league's policy and performance-enhancing drugs. Specifically, they're talking about Adderall. He's appealing the ban, so he's going to play in this game, which is good because they need him. I mean, they do have veteran depth. They have Roman Harper back there, and they have some other players. Jarius Bird used to be the man, or they thought he was the man, and he's still there. He's still playing well. I just don't think he's doing well because they're currently allowing a league worst 300 yards per game through the air. But the Broncos are in shambles. I really believe that. Their offense is so bad, they just can't keep up. And you saw it with the Raiders game. They just can't keep up. And Trevor Siemian, young quarterback, is starting to second-guess himself. And this is a Broncos offense that runs the ball first, and they can't do that. There is no doubt, in my opinion, that they'll be able to do it here because the Saints' defense is suspect. But what I'm really impressed with is how this Saints offense has evolved. They got a big win to me against San Francisco, and it's not because San Francisco is a good team, but it was kind of a tough spot for them to travel out there with everything going on. And I really think them coming home against a team like Denver, it's a perfect spot to back the Saints.
No, I think so as well. I mean, you got back-to-back road games here for Denver. What's effectively a short week, having to go out and play in Oakland on Sunday Night Football, kind of makes Monday a little bit of a wash. Also, the bye week coming up for Denver. And this is a team that started out 4-0. Everything was going great. Last five games, they're just 2-3. You know, they've had a lot of adversities to deal with. I mean, you had Gary Kubiak and his health situation there heading into that short week on Thursday. You had Wade Phillips getting blown up on the sidelines there. And you know, that was obviously something that kind of affected the team a little bit. So lots of ups and downs. And last week for Denver, the first time this season that they have not forced a turnover. And when you go to a matchup against Drew Brees, you really need to force turnovers because it almost doesn't matter how good the defense is. Drew Brees is going to find ways to move the football. He's got all kinds of offensive weapons. New Orleans has found a little bit of a running game here in recent weeks as well. Got to give them credit for that. I just think this is a really difficult spot for Denver. Now, they're in a position where they do need to win games if they want to make the playoffs in the AFC because they're currently in third place in the West Division. But it's just not a great spot for them. New Orleans coming back home. They've won 4 of their last 5, look like a different team. I get the possible look-ahead factor for them because they play Carolina on a short week, but New Orleans can't overlook anybody, and the reigning Super Bowl champs are coming to town.
Well, I definitely don't think they'll look past them, that's for sure. I just really think you got to wonder about this defense for me for the Broncos. Not only do they have to pick up the slack, but they're not doing it, and there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, the Saints are getting defense depleted by injury. Defense tackle Derek Wolfe, we know he suffered a hairline fracture in his arm against Oakland. Cornerback Keith Talib, he's day-to-day. So they're also rotating new players in. We also know Von Miller, he's the best we get it. Denver's good defense, they're fourth the total defense. So that's not going to be a surprise. What I really like is how the Saints' offense is evolved, not to mention that they're playing very, very good football. I mean, this is a team that started off horribly, and they'll be seeking their 5th win in the last 6 games, not to mention 5-0 against the spread in the last 5, so they're cashing in too. But Drew Brees seems to have that talent around him. that he had before. He's got Ingram in the backfield. We know he had the fumble issues, and Hightower stood in. That gives him some more depth, if you would. Not only that, wide receivers. Michael Thomas has been incredible. You and I have been hyping him all year. Of course, you got Cooks on one end. Then, of course, Fleener's coming around. It took him a while to get that playbook. I think this offense is better than it's ever been. And defense wins ball games. I don't doubt that. But when you put them on the field for a long, long time, which has been the case, you know, Trevor Siemian not only looking bad, but a lot of three and outs. A lot of three and outs means that defense is going to be on the field for a long time. And I don't care how good your defense is. That's going to be a problem. It's going to be even worse when you're playing a Saints team with this kind of offense. I think the Saints win, and I think this is when you start to see some real uproar, if you will, around this Denver team. And I wouldn't be surprised if Trevor Siemian doesn't make it through the game, which, of course, could lead to a big, big second half and a big win for the Saints.
I think you touched on something really important there, is that when you look at how this season has gone for the Denver Broncos, there's just so much pressure on this defense. Last week, this defense played almost 41 and a half minutes. Now they're going to have to be running around all over the field covering this Drew Brees spread offense, and they're tired. I mean, they've been beaten up this season. They've had a lot of guys that have been, you know, dealing with nagging injuries throughout the week in practice. Of course, they lost some guys to free agency last year, like Malik Jackson, Danny Trevathan. So maybe depth is a little bit weaker for the Broncos this year. And again, like I said, they have their bye week next week. So this will be their 10th straight game. This is a team that played a ton of football last year going all the way to the Super Bowl. I just think this defense might be gassed. And who can blame them for it? You know, they don't get a whole lot of help from the offense. They didn't get help last year. They don't get help this year. It's just not a great spot for them. So I'm definitely content taking New Orleans here below the key number of 3 in the Superdome and an early kick for Denver here as well. So maybe that's something that kind of keeps them from getting going. And look, this is not a team equipped to play catch-up. So I think we're on the right track here when it comes to this game. Do you have anything else you wanted to add, or are you ready to move on from that one?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. Here's a game that I really like. I think you really like as well. We've been against the Minnesota Vikings a few times here this season in the Super Contest, and it really hasn't gone all that well for us. We're looking to get on the Purple People Eater machine here this week as they take on the Washington Redskins. Now, for Minnesota, things obviously not going well for them with 3 straight losses coming out of the bye week, but there's reason for optimism here this week.
I think so. The Redskins, I won't say they're a bad team because they're not. They've played better than I thought they were. Again, I'm not huge on what Gruden does, and the running game is not existent. That's why Rob Kelly is the starter pretty much. Look, they've got 3-4 backs. They can rotate them when healthy, which has been a case. But there's going to be a problem with that running situation, which to me means they're going to pass a lot. And I'll be honest with you, I can talk about the Vikings defense all day long. We know how great they are. They rank first in points allowed per game, 3rd in total defense. They're a good, good, good unit. But what I really was impressed with, believe it or not, was that Vikings offense, now that they've switched over, new offensive coordinator, they're going to throw the ball a lot. Short pass, kind of reminds me of the Patriots. They throw them short, they throw it quick. They really just want to get the ball moving. Stephon Diggs, he seemed to reap the rewards. He ranked 7th in the NFL with 6.9 receptions per game, 13 against Detroit. Sam Bradford. I feel so bad for Sam Bradford because he's been bouncing around not only teams but coordinators. He's in a comfortable spot all of a sudden. Oh, by the way, he's 7th in the NFL with a 99.0 passer rating. So it's not like he's bad. 9 touchdowns, 1 interception. Now he's in an offense he's comfortable with. I say that offense takes a week to get going. Not that it looked bad last week. To me, Blair Walsh cost him that game, and I told you that during the game. So I think it's a good spot for the Vikings. I really think they're going to win this game, and I like the fact that I think we're getting value.
I agree. I think we are getting value here. And look, you know, these teams, you can almost think of them as stocks or commodities or whatever you want to call them here. You look for buy points and you look for sell points throughout the season. And we were looking for sell points on Minnesota earlier in the year. We looked to sell them in week 1 when we took Tennessee. Tennessee didn't give up an offensive touchdown, but they still couldn't find a way to cover. Thought we had a sell point when Minnesota was going on the road to Carolina. It wasn't one. And now there have been some selling points over the last 3 weeks. You know, they came out of a bye and looked terrible against the Eagles, who haven't looked that great in their own right here recently. Lost to the Bears at Soldier Field. Now they're coming off of a home loss to Detroit, back-to-back division losses, and everyone wants to sell this team. That's the time to buy this team. You mentioned the offensive coordinator change. Look, Pat Shurmur has so much familiarity with Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford's been able to hang around in this league for a long time, and a lot of it he's done it with Pat Shurmur. So I think that's actually an upgrade for Minnesota, because we talked about this a little bit in our Gridiron Gambling Report segment discussing North Turner leaving. It just didn't seem like he wanted to be there. I don't know if he wanted to deal with the challenges of this offensive line, deal with the challenges of revamping the offense for Sam Bradford. You know, maybe he had just had enough. Now you've got a guy in there who wants to be in there. A guy that's been a head coach before, would probably love to get back to that point. And I think that that's a really positive thing for the entire team. So maybe last week was a wake-up call. Look, if Blair Walsh doesn't miss a couple of kicks, they win that game. So it's a little bit of a misleading outcome as well. Now, obviously, you know, I mean, you can't take that for granted. But the fact remains here that I think that we're getting some line value on Minnesota, not just because, you know, that people are selling them, but because we're getting the full three here. It's back down to 2.5 out there in the betting market. And in a game like this, where you've got a really good Minnesota defense, a Washington offense that's, you know, not bad, but they do have an improved defense over there, maybe this is a lower scoring game. So that extra half point or so to get on that key number, I think that could be significant here.
Oh, I agree. And look, Minnesota's 5 giveaways through week 9, lowest total team history. The Vikings have the best turnover differential with 12 since going plus 13 through week 9 in 2003. This defense, to me, carries this team. And you and I have talked about this before. They can only do that as the offense moves. And we just discussed it with Denver. If the offense can't move the ball, the defense is going to struggle. They're going to get tired. They're going to find a weak spot. It's going to be a problem. To me, you got a lot of question marks still in the Redskins. They can't run the ball. Sean Jackson's hurt. Even if he plays, Xavier Rhodes is the best cover corner in the league to me. Obviously, Jordan Reed's going to be the one they want to focus on offense, but there is not a thing I like about Washington in this spot, despite, I guess you could say coming off by, yes, you could say at home. There's a lot of question marks. Like you said, I love the concept of buying low and selling high, and right now, especially after having what many people consider a poor outing against Detroit, I think there's no better time to buy in on the Vikings than right now.
No, I agree. And also this Washington team, I mean, you know, they are 4-3-1, and kudos to them for that. But I also feel like, you know, we've maybe seen the ceiling for this Washington team this year. I mean, this is a passing offense completing over 67% of its passes. You know, they're up there in yardage. They're fifth in yardage. And yet they're tied for 13th in passing touchdowns. So there's not a whole lot of scoring efficiency here with this Washington offense. And Minnesota's hard to score on. So I think there are a lot of concerns for the Redskins here this week. And I'm definitely content with, as you just mentioned, buying low on the Vikings, who, you know, I think it's going to come to light that, you know, this is a much better team than they've played the last 3 weeks. And I feel like that starts right away here in this particular spot. One more game that we definitely have nailed down for our Super Contest. And again, as I talked about already, a lot of games that we like. So we're just trying to, you know, look at those small margins and see where we can come up with the most value. But the other game that we do have confirmed between the two of us for this week, the Pittsburgh Steelers, 2.5-point favorites at home against the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. I like this game a lot. And I get it. It's tough. And I'll bring back in what you said, selling stock when you're high. Can't be any higher than the Cowboys. And don't get me wrong, they deserve it. I mean, they're led by two rookies who look like they're incredible. And Ezekiel Elliott, to me, is a monster. And you and I talked about him last week, too. I mean, the guy just runs the ball. Everybody's high. Dak Prescott, I can't blame him. The stats there, 141.8 passer rating against the winless Browns. I get it. But he's posted a passer rating of at least 103.7 in 6 of the team's 8 games. It's hard to go against it. And I know you and I had a back and forth, too, to figure out if it would make it or not. And the reason I pushed it is because I really think that Dak's been the benefit of some things going on. And to me, the one game where he really had a pass to try to carry his team was the Eagles game, which they won. So, again, I'll give him credit there. I just think it was maybe a little bit overblown, if you will. To me, this stat jumped out to me when I saw it. Since the beginning of the 2014 season, the Steelers have been held to 14 points or less 5 times in games where Big Ben played in all 4 quarters, like last week against the Ravens. In the game following their struggles, 5-0, averaging 35 points per game. I like that. He gets a Cowboys offense that is banged up. I think this is a situational spot for them. I just really like everything about Pittsburgh in this game. And don't get me wrong, we've talked about this before too. I don't think you're going to see a defensive effort where the Cowboys get shut out. I just think it's going to be the kind of scenario where if the Steelers can still score and score early, the Cowboys won't be able to go and they're comfortable just run all the time offense. And it'll be Dak Prescott that's going to carry this team. And if you get the Cowboys into a shootout, which hasn't happened really this year if you think about it, unless they've been up, it's been trouble. And I think Pittsburgh can take advantage of that. And I think they win this game.
Well, that's the big thing for Pittsburgh is you have to get off to a fast start and do whatever you can to make Dallas deviate a little bit from their playbook because they want to run the rock. They want to have the ball for over 35 minutes. They want to put it on the shoulders of Ezekiel Elliott and that offensive line. Pittsburgh is one of the few teams out there that really has the opportunity to get out there and jump out to a 14-0 lead or a 17-7 lead, something like that, and force Dallas to change plans. Because Pittsburgh has the offense that it needs. You know, Ben Roethlisberger got to come back last week, got to shake that rust off a little bit from the meniscus. Didn't play well in that game against Baltimore at all. But for whatever reason, Baltimore is always a difficult matchup for Pittsburgh. It really doesn't matter what the status of the two teams is heading into that game. You know, it's always close games. They're always low-scoring games, you know, many of them within 3 points. It just is what it is. There's a lot of familiarity there. But for Pittsburgh here in this spot, you know, they get a defense that they can exploit a little bit. I think this Dallas defense is way overrated because of what the offense has been able to do. You know, the offense has turned the football over. They've made the opposition go long fields. The Dallas defense, has benefited. I don't know if they can benefit as much here this week against Pittsburgh. Who Dallas has played this year, not a whole lot of great offensive teams out there. You know, I mean, the Giants have a very one-dimensional offense, and Dallas lost that game in week one. Same thing with Washington, very one-dimensional. The Packers, Dallas just pushed them up and down the field. That was one of the most impressive wins of the season, and it happens. But Pittsburgh is balanced with Le'Veon Bell back. You know, someone has to help out Antonio Brown, but I think that they do find that somebody here sometime soon. It's a good spot for Pittsburgh because for Dallas here, the start of 4 games in 19 days. So I think that there will be some opportunities to go against the Cowboys beginning here with this week.
Yeah, and you're right, and I think we'll come back against them too. But I really like the spot. You brought up a few things that I'm going to count on. The Steelers are also in an interesting situation for the team. The next 5 games coming on the road, to me, that means they have to win this game. Plus, Big Ben came out this week, and he kind of did. He even made fun of the Aaron Rodgers, relax. But for him, what I really liked is he said, look, it's only halftime. We got plenty of time. And he said to the young guys, follow me. He said, have faith in the direction of this team. Guys have been here a long time. They know that this is the time, and there's no reason to panic. Let's do this. To me, I think that shows leadership where they need that. They get it, a coaching angle. You talked about Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, and they need help, and they need other options. It's coming. Ladarius Green, from everybody I've talked to, and I talked to some people that work with the Steelers, believe it or not, not inside, but I'm talking about reporters or whatnot, and they say Ladarius Green is going to be back this week, maybe not in a full capacity, but to me, he's a big weapon. Jesse James has been okay, but he hasn't been that great. Ladarius Green's a guy in his career is averaging 14 yards per catch, first down moneymaker. To me, that's going to spread out the field, give them that other option they need to take pressure off Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. I like the Steelers. Big win this week.
So those are our three picks that we have nailed down here for the Super Contest segment. We're looking at the Saints, the Vikings, and then also the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to start the rapid-fire rundown here. Instead of doing it chronologically, with the two games that we're most leaning towards here for the card, then we'll get into the rest of them. We're looking at the Monday night game here between the New York Giants and the Cincinnati Bengals. Out there in the betting market as we're recording on Thursday evening, Cincinnati has flipped to a favorite at the Chris Books, DSI, and Bookmaker. Rest of the market showing them as a pick 'em. But the Bengals are +2 in the Super Contest here.
Yeah, it almost seems like a stale line. And no reason for us not to jump on it. As a road dog, by the way, Andy Dalton, 16-7 against the spread. Giants doing well. Cincinnati only one win over the last month. They really need this win. They've had extra time to get at it. To me, I'm taking the Bengals.
I think that, you know, and we kind of talked about this a little bit, there's such a different dynamic for this Cincinnati offense with Tyler Eifert out there on the field. Opens things up a little bit for A.J. Green, gives Andy Dalton another guy that he trusts. And he needs another guy to trust here at this stage of the game because Mohamed Sanu left, Marvin Jones left. You know, he's had to try to find new guys. Brandon LaFell's sort of been one of them. But Eifert is that guy for him. He's that safety net. You know, he's that security blanket. Really, really changes this offense around. And the Giants have overachieved a little bit here, particularly over the last 3 weeks, getting another game at home here, though. You know, so that's a little bit of a concern, particularly being on Monday night. But that's a sharp line move on Cincinnati here very early in the week, and it's one that I was already leaning towards anyway, but I'm certainly going to respect what's gone on in the betting market with that number. Another game that we're looking at here, and this one is dicey, I would say. I mean, it's one that we like quite a bit, but it is a hard bet to make. The Los Angeles Rams, plus 1.5 on the road at the Meadowlands against the New York Jets.
Yeah, there's obvious reasons that we have struggled to decide whether or not this can be in our card. Forget the fact the travel. Forget the fact that the Rams, but there are a lot of things to consider in this game. I mean, bad plays by the Rams on offense or the Jets on offense could relate into a different quarterback for either team, whether it be Jared Goff or Bryce Petty coming in. So that's stuff you have to consider. I do like the fact Jets are 3-7 against spread last 10 games following a straight-up loss. I also saw a lot of body language, if you will, the last week where if the Jets would struggle, Fitzpatrick would struggle, the offense almost kind of did a here we go again kind of concept. So I think they're starting to lose a little bit of faith. And look, say what you will about the Rams. They have a very strong front line and some of the best defenders in the game. The line tells a story in this one, and you and I went back and forth about it, so I won't steal your thunder, but I like the Rams in this spot.
Yeah, I definitely like the Rams here in this spot as well. I mean, good front four, banged up quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick, really almost banged up everybody for the Jets. This is a team that's really been walking wounded all year long. Nick Mangold probably not going to play. Mo Wilkerson sat out yesterday, practiced on a limited basis here on Thursday. Darren Lee probably not going to be able to play. The Jets are missing a lot of key guys, and I really wonder about the competitiveness level of this team. So they go on the road to Miami and lose last week, nearly gave it away against, or actually had to come back against the Browns a couple weeks ago. They have a bye next week. The following week, they play New England. I just don't know if this is a game that the Jets get up for. I know the travel spot's concerning, and if they have to go from Keenum to Goff, you know, mid-stride, that's concerning as well. I just don't know about the character of that Jets locker room right now, and I don't know if Todd Bowles can pull them out of it, you know, here in the span of a week with all these injuries that are going on. So really, really concerned with the Jets. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they just come out here and mail this game in. So, you know, that's one that could wind up making its way onto our card. But we'll get into the rapid-fire rundown segment here as I go in order. Super contest lines and also the numbers out in the betting market. We'll go ahead and start with the Houston Texans. 1.5-point road favorites in a super contest against the Jacksonville Jaguars out there in the betting market. Jacksonville is now a 2-point favorite.
That's incredible. Incredible to me. And I'll be honest with you, I think it's there for a reason. Osweiler is not doing what he's supposed to do. He's not worth the money. He completed just 59% of his passes, thrown 9 touchdowns and interceptions, by the way, are out the wazoo. He's currently last in the NFL in yards per attempt. He's thrown fewer than 200 yards in back-to-back starts. Awful. He's awful. Lamar Miller's banged up. Jacksonville's at home. I think this is a team, believe it or not, you saw in Kansas City last week, they haven't quit. They still keep playing. As ugly as it sounds, give me Jacksonville.
I can't take Jacksonville here going up against this Houston Texans defense, particularly this secondary, because I don't trust Blake Bortles to make the proper reads, to make the proper throws. You've got Houston coming off of a bye week, which they desperately needed. I mean, this is a team that's kind of been, you know, trying to avoid drowning throughout the season. They've just barely been keeping their heads above water. The bye week should help. Also, I think Bill O'Brien and Romeo Crennel are two pretty good coaches. Maybe they haven't had the personnel to take Houston to a next level, but big-time coaching edge here for me in Houston going up against Gus Bradley. So I can't take the Jaguars. I'd have to look the Texans here. And you know, it's unfortunate because I feel like this one could have wound up on our Super Contest card if we were on the same side of a game like this. Carolina Panthers, 3-point home favorites in the Super Contest, same number out in the betting market against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, this is another one that we've kind of talked about. Again, I don't know if people are buying into the Panthers. I haven't seen anything that they've done that made me believe that they could play consistent football. Even the back door to the Rams that they gave up or the push for some that got it just shows how unfocused this team is. Macklin's not going to play for the Chiefs, but Ware is, and I think running the ball is more important in this situation because they have other young targets, not to mention Kelce on offense. Justin Houston is back. To me, that's incredible. I mean, a Pro Bowl linebacker, he's going to give this defense a boost. I think Kansas City wins this game. Give me the Chiefs.
Kansas City in this spot as well. I mean, obviously there are a few concerns that I do have about the Chiefs. You know, I want to see how this offense does with Alex Smith coming back. Also, they played terrible at home last week against Jacksonville. They were very, very fortunate to win that game. You know, are these things that can be corrected over the span of this week to go out on the road and play a Carolina team that is maybe starting to believe a little bit more now? I don't know. I think from an X's and O's standpoint, I do like Kansas City in this spot. Getting the full three, you know, something that would certainly help sway me a little bit on the Chiefs. So we'll see what happens with this one. It could find its way onto our Super Contest card, but both of us looking at Kansas City there in that spot. Atlanta Falcons and Philadelphia Eagles. This game is a pick'em in the Super Contest. We talked about this one a little bit on Wednesday's Gridiron Gambling Report segment. So if you want more in-depth analysis, you can get it there. But right now, Atlanta's a 2-point favorite out in the betting market.
Yeah, you and I are on opposite sides, unfortunately. I really like the Eagles in the spot. I like kind of what I'm reading about in the press, if you would, to read between the lines, where Carson Wentz said, look, everybody around here is just kind of sick of how we're playing and that we can't close out games. The Eagles second in the NFC with a plus 57-point differential. So if they've got the numbers on the side, they're just not closing out the games. Talked about Atlanta, Matt Ryan, MVP candidate, offense looks good. I'm not sold on that defense. Give me the Eagles at home, short number, I'll take it.
I like Atlanta in this spot, as I talked about on Wednesday. You know, Kyle Shanahan, really the X factor for me in a lot of these games for Atlanta. I feel like he can, you know, do what he needs to do to get these guys open, and he's got extra time to prepare for this matchup because Atlanta played on Thursday last week. And again, as I discussed, fourth straight game for the Eagles playing a team with extra rest. That's a very, very tough thing to do here in the NFL, and I will take Atlanta here in this spot. Moving on down the card here, the Green Bay Packers are a 2.5-point favorite on the road in Nashville against the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I can't. I can't buy the Packers. That game last week, to me, just showed how much of a problem they are. And look, they're facing a Tennessee Titans team's third in NFL in rushing, and the Green Bay Packers, good defense. They lead the NFL in run defense, 75.8 yards per game, so that's going to be a good battle in the trenches. I really think, watch the injury report, left guard Quentin Spain, he can return for the Titans. Titans have a really good offensive line. He sat out the last two games, but he practiced Wednesday. I expect him to be in the lineup. To me, this is a very interesting spot where I think a lot of people are going to be backing the Packers. I think it's the wrong side. Give me the Titans in this spot.
I actually like the Packers in this spot. They may get a little bit healthier in the secondary. Demarius Randle and Quentin Rollins both limited in practice on Thursday, but they did practice, so that's a good thing. You know, for Tennessee, I mean, we were on them last week going up against the Chargers. They were 5-point dog. Marcus Mariota, again, two crippling turnovers, both of them returned for touchdowns. Until he stops doing that, I just have a very hard time with Tennessee unless I'm getting what I perceive to be really significant line value. I don't see that here this week. I'll take Green Bay in this one. This is one of the most interesting lines of the week. Chicago Bears, a pick'em in the Super Contest on the road at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and at several shops in the offshore marketplace, the Bears are a road favorite.
Yeah, this game, very, very interesting. I can't deny it, but it's almost one I want to stay away from because you never know what to expect. You can't trust Tampa Bay. I like the fact that Doug Martin has practiced this week. I think he brings a boost to the offense they need because the running game has been a bit stagnant, but they're just awful on defense. To me, that's their problem. On offense, they're okay, but their defense has been atrocious. Everybody can score against them. The Bears look pretty good with Cutler back. It almost seems like he has some sort of message to send to the league that he's not done yet. And we know that you and I are big fans of the coaching staff, not to mention the defense. Hate this game, but there's only one way to go to me, and that's the Bears. Give me the Bears.
That's probably the only way that I could look too, but I mean, it's very, very hard to take Chicago in a road spot like this against a Tampa Bay team that has potential. You know, I mean, they just haven't lived up to it all. Big news for Tampa Bay that Mike Evans out of concussion protocol. He'll be able to go here this week. Be an even bigger boost if they get Doug Martin back. But man, I just don't know. I can't trust that Tampa Bay coaching staff, particularly Mike Smith, the defensive coordinator. If the Bears have the offense going, then they can very well win this game, but that's a big if. So I'd lean Bears, but not nearly enough to add them to our Super Contest card here for this week. San Diego Chargers, 4-point home chalk against the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, this is another one I've kind of been back and forth on. I really like how Melvin Gordon has played. I mean, he looked incredible. He scored 11 touchdowns, 9 rushing. He's carried the ball 193 times, 268 yards, 4 yards per carry. To me, it's been incredible for this offense because it opens up for Philip Rivers, who's been incredible. And their defense isn't bad either. Forced 18 turnovers on the season. But the Dolphins' defense isn't so bad. Namakin Stu, we all talk about him. 37 tackles, 4.5 sacks. What about Tico Alonso, my good friend that I hyped up a couple years ago when he came in? Team high, 67 tackles in his first year with the Dolphins. I like the Chargers. I like what they're doing, but it seems like they fall flat when they're a favorite. They do well when they're an underdog. So although there's a long road trip, I'll take the...
Speaking of this long road trip, something I want our listeners to keep in mind, Adam Gase today talking with the media, this is going to be an 11-day trip out west. So Miami will not come home between facing the Chargers and then the Los Angeles Rams next weekend. So keep that in mind because it kind of changes the situational handicapping element for those two games. For me, I look at San Diego and things are just dramatically different for them defensively with Joey Bosa in the lineup now. He just changes so many things. He forces the opposition to change its protections. He gets back there and disrupts things in the pocket. He's just been a fantastic addition to this team. And it's not a surprise they've won 3 of the last 4 games. I know they fell short on the road at Denver. It was a revenge spot for the Broncos. I'm not particularly surprised that that happened. Hunter Henry moving around here in practice. I'm going to take San Diego, but I will say this. I want to see what Miami does here because they've rattled off 3 straight. They've caught some teams in some bad situations, but the mark of a good coach is how a team does from week 1 to week 8 to the end of the season in the NFL. Adam Gase is doing things with this Miami team. It's taking a little bit of time, but they're improving. So I definitely want to see how they continue that path here this week. A couple more games to touch on. Arizona Cardinals, 13.5-point favorites at home against the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, we talked about this one all week, too. There's only one way to go. You can't trust the 49ers, but you hate to drop the double digits. I love the fact that Carson Palmer came out and said, yep, we're exactly where we want to be. I'm not quite sure that's the case, but I really think they're focused. They're the much, much better team, a step up in class. They win by double digits. Not a big fan of dropping them, but only choice.
I'm taking San Francisco here in this spot, catching the 13.5. The reason being, for Arizona the next 2 weeks, at Minnesota, at Atlanta, how focused are they on this 49ers game? I understand it's a division game. I understand they're 3-4-1, so they can't overlook anybody. Every game's a must-win at this point. I just don't know if they're going to be that invested in this game to go out there and win it by 2 touchdowns. San Francisco's terrible. There's no doubt about that. Their defense is horrendous. But I just don't know what kind of effort we get here from Arizona. So I would have to look at taking the double digits, even though this number is showing signs of moving up to the full 14. One more game to touch on. We talked about this one a little bit on Wednesday. So again, if you want more in-depth analysis, check out the Gridiron Gambling Report for this week. New England Patriots, 7.5-point favorites on Sunday Night Football against the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, the game of the week for sure, Super Bowl 49 rematch, although I think that's a bit overblown. But I like the Seahawks in the spot, I'll be honest with you. Russell Wilson's healthy. That's a big key. Jimmy Graham looks great, although I don't want to call him lucky. I'll call it talent. He made 2 great catches. I think that helps this offense. They can't run the ball. Wouldn't be surprised if Russell Wilson throws it 50 times to try to keep up with Tom Brady. Back and forth event. Maybe the last team with the ball wins. Either way, I think the points are at a premium. Long trip, but I'll still take Seattle.
It's definitely going to be New England for me. Has to be New England for me. I really like them in this spot here. Taking on Seattle, coming out of the bye. You know, they've just bludgeoned everybody they've played since Tom Brady came back. 4 straight wins by double digits. 3 of the 4 by 16 or more points. You have to like that. I just don't see how Seattle slows them down when Seattle's going to lose this game at the point of attack because their offensive line is horrid. And you give New England extra prep time to come after that. I think the Patriots are in a good spot here. I'd be willing to lay it over the key number of 7. Wish it was 7.5, but 7.5 plus money, which you can find out there at a couple of shops. I think that's definitely a worthwhile investment there. Cole, any final thoughts from you?
Just one. Betting the Buckets is back. My NBA betting podcast is ready to go. We're going to have it kicked up here soon, and I can't wait to talk about basketball and nothing but basketball, because as much as I love football, I also love the NBA.
All right, buddy. Good luck to us, and we'll talk again next week.
See you.
All right, there's our Week 10 Westgate Super Contest selection segment. You heard there right at the end, Cole Ryan talking about his Betting the Buckets podcast. Posted the first edition of that here this morning. As I talked about earlier in the week, going to be a separate episode over at our Bang the Book Radio channel. So it won't be part of this show because we've got a schedule, we've got guests, we don't want to throw it off. Also, if we were to use it here on the shows, we'd have to play it at the end, and so there'd be a lot less lead time. Here I can get it posted about 7:30 in the morning, 8 o'clock, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays for that Betting the Buckets segment. So if you subscribe to our channel on iTunes, you're going to automatically get that. If you're not subscribed to our channel on iTunes, well, you should be, for one thing. But for another thing, you can head on over to bangthebook.com, get it over there. I post that clip along with a little blurb on what it's about and all that over on our podcast page. So you can get the Betting the Buckets segment every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday there from Cole Ryan. If you want to become a member of the hashtag Buckets Brigade, you can follow Cole on Twitter at Cole Ryan and the number 9. So with that, we'll get into the final segment of the week here. That is the odds report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. Chatted with him last night for week 11 of the college football season, also week 10 of the NFL season. So here is that segment with Brent from DSI. All right, I'm joined now by Brent for this week's odds report presented by DSI Sportsbook. Bang the Book Radio listeners can head on over there, use the promo code BTBRadio, get a $10 free bet just for signing up, and a 50 to 100% deposit bonus based on the amount of their initial deposit. Brent, how's it going today, man?
Going well. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's like we're doing this here on Thursday, and you're looking at the schedule for tomorrow. It's like, okay, we've got all this stuff going on with NBA and hockey, college football, and NFL going. Hey, college basketball tomorrow. So it's not March Madness, but it's certainly madness down here already.
Yeah, college basketball, and there's so many games to put up, too. You don't put all of them up here early on because you got, a lot of schools playing D2 or, D3 teams, stuff like that. But, about how long would you say it takes everybody to settle in over there with college basketball? Does it take about a week or so, 2 weeks?
I would say probably 2 weeks. I mean, you got to see, teams play a couple of times, and you want to see them versus, a varied opposition as well. You don't want to see, some team just rolling over some teams that they should be rolling over. You want to see them challenge and stuff like that. And we do put a lot of faith in terms of our guys with the early numbers who help us out with these things. And again, especially early college basketball season, you're definitely moving numbers real hard, real fast.
Well, we got plenty of stuff to talk about from the teams that we do know in college football and the NFL. College football week 11. We'll go ahead and start on Saturday. Noon kickoff in the American Athletic Conference, Cincinnati and Central Florida. Central Florida, a team that's been getting a lot of sharp love here throughout the season. Is that the case this week?
This case, we got some sharp love, but yeah, not for Central Florida. I actually got quite a bit of public support for them, which is kind of surprising. You don't, just not kind of like the conference or a team that a lot of public is going to get behind. But I do have, a lot more wagers on Central Florida. When I say a lot more, I say twice as many wagers, which in a game like Cincinnati at Central Florida, it is, a lot of wagers. But I do have sharp action on this game, and that's that on the road dog Cincinnati. They bet Cincinnati when line was +13, -05. We're down to 12 right now, so it's kind of a good situation for us in that you get a feeling if the public's betting Central Florida that you should be able to get some of that money back. And right now I do have slightly more money towards Cincinnati, but I've got a lot of public money going on Central Florida, which again, like I said, is kind of surprising for the public to be betting a game like this, especially so early. But the sharp action that I did take was on Cincinnati +13, -05. So right now, I mean, I do need some more Central Florida money to come in, but it's kind of trending that way as it is.
So do you feel like 13 will pop again?
No, I don't think you'll see 13 at all again, no. I mean, when a sharp kind of plays their hand like this, again, unless any more sharps get involved on the other side, once they've kind of showed their hand there in terms of grabbing the 13, we'll kind of let the public bet the heck out of 12. If we go to 12.5, no problem doing that. But you probably won't see us touch 13 again unless it's a sharp bet involved.
Well, we do have three totals with some sharp action here this week, and one of them actually happens to be this game. So where is it coming in?
Yeah, we're sitting right now, and again, we talk week after week about the public, generally speaking, betting the overs, and that's so whenever we have a situation like that, whenever we had a situation like that with the sharps going one way and the public going the other way, you get a little nervous about stuff like that. This is a game though right now where I'm sitting at we're at 51 right now. I did take sharp action on this one already on the over 49.5, so we've moved a point and a half already. And again, my wager count is almost 3-1 favoring the over, which again, you know, as I said, is kind of typical for the public to be getting behind the over. So not necessarily a great situation for us when you got the sharp and probably, but over 49.5 is where the sharp bets came in. I took, very respectable bet on the over 50.5 as well. So I've got a couple of guys now on the over there. So if anything, this game, looks like it's probably going to trend up because the public's going to be going that way as well.
Well, move to 7 o'clock here in the ACC. And again, I'm going by rotation number for our listeners out there who want to follow along as we're going through these games, make sure that your odds screen is sorted by rotation number. Bobby Petrino came out for Louisville and said, look, with our position in the college football playoff rankings, we're going to run up the score whenever we have the chance to do so. According to the sharp bettors this week, they'll have the chance to do that this week against Wake Forest.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. We've talked about Louisville just week after week. It seems, somehow, some way, sharps are involved with, in their games no matter what, whether it's a total, whether it's a side or whatever. We also had seen some really big moves, especially early on the season where, we'd be doing our show here and we're talking about how, the Lions move 7.5, 8 points and stuff like that. This line has moved in favor of Louisville from 32.5 up to 34.5 or 35 now. So that they're a big home favorite at home to Wake Forest. Sharp money is on Louisville on the minus 32.5. I got some nibbles back on Wake Forest of one nibble I'll call it on what I'll call respectable money plus 34.5, but not enough for us to move the line back down at all. Just the one big sharp we fired on this one again minus 32.5. We're sitting 34.5. I think there's 35s out there as well. Sometimes, people will sit there and use 34.5 minus 15 or whatever. We're typically just going straight to 35. We don't kind of play around with juice when you're getting on numbers like 34.5 or 33.5 and stuff like that. Just kind of move the next number. So Louisville minus 34.5 or 35. We've kind of been bouncing back and forth on that one. But the sharp money came in on Louisville. Big home favorite at home to Wake Forest minus 32.5.
And I imagine our listeners out there have to be asking the question to themselves, why don't the odds makers just adjust and inflate Louisville even more?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely want to, but how high do you want to go in terms of, where your initial bet came in? And if, no one very, very sharp has been involved since that number, you're kind of getting public action since then. So, I mean, if the public shows it, they're definitely going to go one way. And again, I've got like about three times more bets favoring Louisville, which is no surprise. And again, it kind of a pseudo sharp bet did come back at the 34.5. So that kind of might work for us in terms of balancing things off. But once you get the initial hit off the 32.5, I mean, we move, a full point right away to 33.5. Then we were at 34 to the 34.5 we are now. So we've kind of moved like a full point right away on that first shot. Now, I mean, 32.5 to 33.5, how big it is. Well, if it lands, it's big. If it doesn't, it's not such a big move. But no, I mean, when you get up this high, yeah, you're typically moving one point at a time, not just half points. But again, we took that pseudo sharp bet or respectable bet, I'll call it, on Wake Forest plus the 34.5. Not a list guy per se, but that kind of gave us an indication that maybe we're around the right number now.
Well, we got some Big 12 action here to talk about, and Kansas Jayhawks fans have to be really happy that college basketball season starts this weekend because they are a double-digit home dog to Iowa State.
Yeah, this line, it's really climbed up there. I've got a couple of guys going in this game, which is kind of always telling. I mean, when you've got one guy on a game, two guys in the game, but I've got like three different guys all in this game, and they all seem to be going the same way with Iowa State. So that's kind of you're right. In terms of the Kansas fans, maybe waiting for basketball season, can't wait for it to be here. I've taken almost twice as many bets on Iowa State, so it's not like the public is heavily involved in this game, but I do have a lot of sharp action. Minus 8.5, and boom, the move straight to 9.5. We got that move right away. From 9.5, we kind of went to 10. We blew right through 10 up to 10.5. Again, got a respectable bet back down at the plus 10.5, but still we're sitting at 10 right now. Iowa State as the road favorite. And again, I got a couple of sharps involved in this one. 8.5 and minus 9.5, both on Iowa State, Adam.
It wasn't the same guy that came back on 10.5, right? That wasn't a numbers grab looking
for
middle.
No, not at all. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't really, in terms of list guys, I don't have guys who are just grabbing the numbers, playing both sides and stuff like that. And you can kind of tell those guys right away. I mean, you see a lot of them, the guys who are, hedging or whatever like that, they'll kind of like squeal out a profit here and there. But they're making, your typical player will be bet, say, $5,000 on a game, where these guys will, in terms of setting up the middle and making a profit, either way, you'll see their bets come in for like $2,753 and stuff like that, because they're setting up the middle and they're you know, meticulous with that stuff. But when we talk about the stuff on these shows, if it's a numbers grab guy, I'll kind of mention him as being respectable, but not the fact that he's a list guy for sure.
Well, move to the Mountain West here, a little bit of Mountain West after dark action. Colorado State and Air Force, what's going on with this game?
Yeah, I got some sharp action here, Adam. Colorado State on the road, Air Force, you know, a six-point home favorite now. That, you know, big move there from the minus four where the sharps came in. So they're betting Air Force, the home favorite. Minus four is where it came in initially on them. I've got a wager count almost dead even, so that's kind of a good spot for us in terms of both teams getting support. Air Force is 6-3. I think Colorado State's like 5-4. So kind of evenly matched on paper. And Colorado State typically has a decent program, we'll say. And the academies and the Air Force academy is always decent. But the sharp action I took here, minus six now is where we are with Air Force. The sharp action came in at minus four. Total we're sitting at 53.5. Absolutely nothing at all on the total so far.
Well, how about some Conference USA? We don't talk a whole lot of Conference USA here on the segment just because we haven't seen a whole lot of sharp action recently. But we do have one here this week, Louisiana Tech. They take on UTSA.
Yeah. This is a game too. Yeah, we don't talk about these teams much because, I don't know, you just kind of, I mean, Texas San Antonio, I remember they were, a couple of years back, they were kind of like, you know, they came out of nowhere. They won a couple of games earlier and surprised people. But since then, they haven't really got much attention from the, you know, the public or the sharps. Really, they haven't been a, you know, a hot side, so to speak. But they were a couple of years ago, I remember, especially early in the season. Louisiana Tech sitting at 7-3 is a 21.5-point home favorite right now. I did take sharp action on them, laying the big number. It was minus 20, minus 05 that the sharps laid Louisiana Tech at home to UTSA. Looking at my wager count right now, no surprises. It's about 2-1 favoring Louisiana Tech. So your public is, you know, not shy at all in terms of laying big numbers, big home favorites especially. So you know, the kind of mentality, I guess, when they're looking at games like this is like, wow, they're supposed to win the game, and it looks like they're supposed to win the game a lot, by a lot. So I'm going to back them. So 20 minus 05 is where the sharp action came. I actually took a second hit at minus 21, just to mention that it was someone else who came in on the 21. So it's kind of a stronger side, so to speak. Right now I am at 21.5, and I could see that number going up based on the fact that I haven't really got much back on the other side. Texas San Antonio, almost nothing, so to speak, back on them. So this number, I just have a feeling probably go back up based on the current volume. If other sharps come involved the other way, you'll see that number tumble, of course. The total in this game, high spread, high total, we're sitting at 71. My wager count almost twice as many favoring the over. My money's a little bit favoring the over as well because of that high wager count. I took some kind of like decent bets, we'll call it, on the under this one moment. It was 72.5, so we're down to 71. That's why you saw a little bit of movement on the total, just a point and a half down. We went from 71.5 straight down to 72.5 down to 71.5. We're sitting at 71 right now, but the public is going to bet the over and probably bounce us off there.
So UTSA last week, they won by 20 as an 18-point dog against Middle Tennessee State. Now, Middle Tennessee State lost their starting quarterback to a broken collarbone in this game. That had a lot to do with the outcome. But when you see a team that's an 18-point dog go on the road and win by 20, do you feel like maybe that sort of influenced the opening number here and left it a little bit short?
Sometimes. I mean, obviously, when you've got a dog who pulls off a big upset like that, I mean, like Middle Tennessee State was like they closed like a 19.5-point favorite last week, and yeah, they lost by or UTSA won by around 20, I think it was. So yeah, I mean, you definitely. You know, a team that people might not, you know, be paying any attention to, they kind of pay attention and say, holy cow, you know. And the first question people always is, wow, what was the money line on that one? Don't ask me what it was because I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. But I mean, people are always thinking, wow, if I bet that dog. So, yeah, I mean, they kind of get in the public eye for a minute. And maybe, you know, because of that, we had the number a little bit lower. But, again, it's, you know, you throw it out there and sometimes you nail a number right on and other times you got to move a little bit. And obviously the sharps figure we were a bit low on this one.
Well, there are a couple of games out there this weekend that a couple of years ago would have been huge games, would have been primetime types of games, Stanford, Oregon being one of them. They're playing a 4 o'clock kick in Eugene. The other one is Baylor in Oklahoma. This is a noon kickoff in Norman. Oklahoma laying 17, but it's the total that's actually seen some sharp action so far.
Yeah, I mean Oklahoma. I mean they're still up there in the rankings. Of course, they're sitting at 7-2, and they're still obviously a well-respected program and such. Baylor, I guess, had high hopes, and they kind of disappointed this year. In this game, yeah, I mean when you looked at it before the season started, you would have kind of circled that one and say, wow, that's going to be a fantastic game. I mean Baylor's they are 6-2 overall, but they haven't been quite as impressive that everyone expected. Thus, the high spread, of course, with Oklahoma as a 17-point favorite at home. My wager count here is about 2, almost 3-1 favoring Oklahoma, so that number's kind of crept up. But I do have sharp action on this one. Now, this is one of those spots for us that you kind of look for in terms of booking wise, in terms of hanging on to a number sometimes, because the public Oklahoma games, Baylor games, public's going to go over, public's going to go over. You just know that. My wager count does indicate that. The wager count almost 3-1 in terms of the actual number of bets I've taken on the over. But if you follow this line in terms of the total at all, you see that it's dropped from 81 down to 80 right now. The sharpest bet did come at the 81, but I've got what I'm going to call a respectable pseudo-sharp guy who went under the 80 as well. The question, of course, is, well, if he went under 80, why are you still sitting at 80? Well, it's just we know we're going to get so much public money on the over in this game, you just kind of want to hang that number as long as possible. It's kind of like if you can make someone pay, $3 for something when the real price should be $2.50, well, why don't you sell it for $3? Yeah, if they're going to pay the $3, sure. So right now we're hanging at the 80 right now. Again, we could drop down based on the sharp action, but the public is overwhelmingly going on the over here, Adam.
3:30 kickoff, SEC East, Vanderbilt and Missouri. We saw nobody have interest in Missouri last week. South Carolina wound up becoming a very big favorite in that game. If I remember correctly, there was a little bit of buyback closer to kickoff. But here again this week, it looks like we got some money coming in against Missouri.
Yeah, I mean, Missouri is one of those teams that they just haven't looked very good. The program just seems to be going through a little bit of turmoil, I guess, in terms of what's gone on with the quarterbacks the last couple of years and stuff like that. But I definitely do have sharp action on this game. Missouri sitting at 2-7. They're a home favorite. They were a 4-point favorite initially. That's down to 3.5 right now. The sharp money did come in on Vanderbilt plus the 4. Looking at my wager count here, I've gotten, again, last week, same situation in terms of, trying to get money back on Missouri. Even in the game like this, I mean, Vanderbilt's not, a highly ranked school running out with a huge reputation, but I have a wager count almost 3-1 favoring Vanderbilt. And I think that kind of indicates how people are kind of sour on Missouri, that's for sure. So wager count almost 3-1 favoring Vanderbilt. So I got public money on Vanderbilt, sharps on Vanderbilt plus 4 as well.
One more game to cover here on the college side. This one, a total in the American Athletic Conference. Tulane, of course, they adopted the triple option offense here this season. They take on Houston, a Houston team that really hasn't looked all that impressive over the last few weeks. Where's the sharp money coming in for this total?
It's interesting with Houston in that we seem to be getting a lot of totals involving them, where I got sharp guys betting the unders quite a bit. Now, granted, we're talking usually that they've had a lot of totals that have been really quite high throughout the season, but they're typically a team where you just expect a whole lot of points, and this is a situation here where I've got under money from sharp guys. The first real sharp came in on the under 54. If you look right now, we're sitting at like 51 on this total, so it's really moved quite a bit. And again, that's been all sharp action. Now, I think this line initially came out, at least for us, it came around 55. I think other places who opened up earlier might have been even higher than that, so we came out at 55. Gradually dropped down as the board dropped, took sharp action under 54, more action under 53, even 52.5 they went under. We kind of said, okay, let's move dramatically here. So we're down to 51 right now, not a nibble back on the over yet, but I do have public action on the over. So no respect bets at all on the over, just the sharp guys. Under 54 is where the sharpest one came for us, but over 51, not anything there from a sharp guy.
Well, we'll flip over to the professionals here, take a look at Sunday. And then, of course, Monday as well. We've got some sharp action for the Monday Night Football game, and that's always intriguing because we know that that's going to be a very heavily bet game, particularly from the public sides. But we'll start with Sunday. AFC South, Houston and Jacksonville. What's the story with this game?
Houston and Jacksonville. Yeah, this is an exciting game in terms of the matchup on paper. Yeah, it's a big game for the division, we'll call it. Houston 5-3, leading the division on the road at 2-6. Jacksonville's lost like 3 in a row, I think. It's kind of this division is like you kind of hope for, I think, in NFL that if you look at every division, you've got a pretty, you know, strong team in every single division. It's just not the case this year. I mean, there's so many divisions where you see teams that are like 500 or worse. Now, granted, Houston is, you know, top of their division at 5-3. But, I mean, if you look at their, like, even, like, net points, I think they've allowed, like, you know, 30 more points than they've scored. Jackson, everyone in the division has allowed more points than they've scored. But lo and behold, someone has to win the division. Texans 5-3 at the Jaguars. Jaguars 2-6. And you'll see now that the Jaguars are actually a 2-point favorite. And I got a couple of sharp bets actually on Jacksonville. They started out as a 1-point dog, flipped them to a pick, and then to -1. I took another sharp bet on Jacksonville -1 to the -2 we are right now. So we jump straight to the two now. That's two different sharps involved on Jacksonville. +1 and -1, and so now they flip from being a home dog to a home favorite. No surprise in terms of my wager count. People are betting Houston, of course, just the, you know, the general consensus or just general feeling that Houston's a better team than Jacksonville, and Jacksonville's a bad team, as they have been year after year. So wager count almost 3-1 in terms of the actual number of bets I've taken favoring Houston. My money is almost twice as heavy on Jacksonville. Again, that sharp action, a couple of sharp bets. You know, your sharp guys typically betting max wagers and your public betting smaller units. So that's how you get a wager count so heavy one way and a dollar volume so heavy the other way. So Jacksonville +1 and -1 is where the sharp action came at him.
Well, and I think that's particularly interesting because we talked a couple weeks ago about sharper players looking to back teams coming out of bye weeks. Houston's coming out of its bye week here, but they're still not getting the love.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. I mean, looking at teams coming off the bye week has definitely been a, you know, a kind of a strong angle throughout the, well, for years now. You know, it doesn't just go through this year. But, yeah, every now and then it's all about who's the right team here. And this is a case where the sharp guys obviously feel Jacksonville's the right side.
Denver and New Orleans, early kick here in the Superdome for Denver. Very interesting to see the line movement that's happened on this game.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about how, you know, Denver, they just don't seem like the, you know, the same team they were. You know, their defense is, you know, as respectable as it is, just hasn't been the same recently. You know, they did lose last week. We talked about the Sharps being on Oakland last week on the Sunday night game. And I think, you know, the kind of the surprising thing is that, you know, Oakland just ran up a ton of yards all over them. And now they go on the road to the Saints. Now, I mean, New Orleans obviously is not, you know, one of the top teams in the league, but they certainly have one of the top offenses in the league, and they still score a whole lot of points. And, you know, teams at home definitely play, you know, they definitely play better. There is that home field advantage. Now, New Orleans 4-4 sitting at home, hosting 6-3 Broncos. And, you know, New Orleans has won a couple of games in a row. They're 4-4, so they're kind of thinking now, you know, about wild card position and stuff like that. And what I've got here so far is about 2-1 in terms of my wager count favoring New Orleans, and I also have a smart money on the Saints. Now, again, these are two different guys I have on New Orleans. First guy, Pop New Orleans -1.5. Got another bet, New Orleans -2.5, and we're sitting at -3 flat right now. So that's, you know, a couple of real strong plays on the Saints as the home favorite. They're all the way up to a 3-point favorite now at home. Again, 1.5 and 2.5 is where the sharp action came on them. My wager count isn't crazy in this game. Again, it's about 2-1 favoring New Orleans, which is no surprise. But the fact that I've gone to 3 and haven't taken even a nibble from a sharp guy or even a respectable guy on Denver, I think that kind of tells a lot in terms of New Orleans being the right side.
You know, another thing I think that kind of tells a lot is when you've got a situation where you've got a pick'em game and you see sharp money come in on the road team, that's something that always kind of stands out to me. And we've got two of those situations here this week, beginning with the Atlanta Falcons on the road against the Philadelphia Eagles.
We'll call them Hot Atlanta on the road. Yeah, Hot Atlanta's a 2-point favorite right now, and the sharp action that did come in on them came in when the line was a pick. It was pick -115. It wasn't a pick flat, so we did have some juice on the pick. But yeah, Atlanta, pick -115 is where the sharp action came, where we have them as a 2-point favorite right now. Kind of a, you know, not a great situation for us in that I've got a lot of public money behind Atlanta as well. And when I say lot, I say wager count of like 8-1. So that's a very strong wager count favoring the Falcons. They're now a road favorite -2 at Philadelphia. Taking some big bets on them when it was a pick. The sharpest guy who came in this game did come at pick -115. But I've got a couple of big hits even, you know, when it was +1 and stuff like that. So the Eagles did start out as a small home favorite. Line flipped to a pick real quick though, the first you know, the first bet was on Atlanta plus the one, went to a pick right away. Then the real sharp came in, who missed the opening number, did still lay the pick minus 115 and played that. And again, like I said, my wager count way one-sided, favoring the Falcons. The over too, just want to mention the over simply because I got so much action on the over. We're sitting at a total of 50 right now. I just got a ton of bets on the over. Now this is all, you know, all public driven, of course, nothing sharp involved in this one, otherwise we would have highlighted this game. But just my wager count being almost like 10-1 in favor of the over, that's just a huge count. So I have no sharps involved right now in terms of the under, so you might see this one pop up over 50 as it is right now.
Well, and then of course if you do see it come down a little bit, then you have a pretty good idea that there's some sort of sharp involvement on the under in that one, so that'll be a total to watch. It's understandable why Atlanta would be favored on the road. Chicago, on the other hand, being a road favorite, that one's kind of a little bit more surprising.
Well, let's consider the opponent too, right? Yeah, I mean, it's not a great matchup in terms of the Bears at the Buccaneers and stuff like that. But we do have the Bears getting the sharp action. They did come in on the Bears sharp money pick minus 115. We're sitting right now, we're like 1 minus 115, or you even like see some 1.5 so they're already on the Bears. So real sharp play that did come on the Bears. Now, hey, they did have won a grand total of one game in a row, so. So maybe the Bears are onto something. Tampa Bay's, you know, they've lost a couple games in a row. But yeah, the Bears, the road really isn't the kind of spot where you expect to see them as a favorite. Now, they did have that nice win last 2 weeks ago, the 31st, over Minnesota. That was a big win. And they are coming off the bye, so that's a spot too, kind of to, maybe that might have something to do with it. But definitely the Bears at a pick minus 115 were the sharp play on this game. Maybe not surprising is that I do have, you know, slightly more wagers favoring the Buccaneers, but it just total are just. Just public money involved in the Buccaneers so far. No other sharps involved other than play on the Bears. Pick minus 115. Total sitting at 46, and I've got almost, you know, just nibbles on this one. Again, just public money betting me over.
Actually kind of surprising. I didn't realize this, but the Bears actually played in Tampa Bay on December 27th of last season, won outright 26-21. Now, that's not to say that that has any impact on what's going on with a line move in this game. It's just weird to see two non-division rivals, you know, meeting in the same venue in back-to-back seasons. That's something that doesn't happen often.
Yeah, no, that thought hadn't even crossed my mind.
The only reason I looked is because I was trying to figure out the last time the Bears won a road game, and it just so happened to be that one. So I guess it just kind of lined up for us. One more game to talk about here with some sharp action, and then I do have one additional question for you about the NFL market. But we'll finish up with the games here. Cincinnati Bengals on the road. Monday Night Football, this will be a very heavily bet game. What's the story with this one against the New York Giants?
Now, the Bengals, they didn't play last week, did they?
No, they didn't.
And that's, there we go. Bengals coming off a bye, they're the sharp side. Yeah, that was easy. We could have drawn that one up. Yeah, Bengals having, they undefeated in the last two games. Now, they only won one of those two games because with the tie versus Washington was their last game, that 27-27 barn burn. But yeah, the Bengals are coming off a bye on the road at the New York Giants. And the Giants were the favorite in this one, just a small favorite, of course. But I do have sharp action on the Bengals plus one. So sharp action there on the Bengals plus the one. That line actually opened like I think it was 1.5 or 2, but the sharp action didn't come until it was down to plus one, the big bet on the Bengals. So as a road favorite on Monday night, you know, it's typically one of those spots where, you know, I've said before on these shows that whenever we need like the home dog on a Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night game, we're kind of comfortable with that. When the sharps go against you, we're not so comfortable with it. So this is a case right here where in terms of money, I've got almost nothing back on the Giants. Now my wager count is almost dead even, but that's just indicative of mostly public money coming in on the Giants, and it's kind of split in terms of my wager count. I mean, I do have, you know, slightly more actual wagers on the Giants, so the public's slightly more in their favor, but obviously my money's way one side on the Bengals. Again, Bengals plus one is where that came in. Right now we're sitting at a total of 47. That actually opened at 46 and it's kind of climbed up. Just mostly public money driving that up. I've got a wager count on the over right now of about 5-1, but it has moved a full point from the 46, but it's not sharp action involved in that, just the public driving that up to 47. And again, you know, a Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night game, public's typically going to bet the over. And that's certainly the case in this one as well.
So the question I wanted to ask you here, I was looking at the market earlier in the week, and I had a professional handicapper on the show, and I was asking him about the fact that there were so many numbers between Pick'em and the key number of three. There were a lot of 2.5s out there early in the market. Still a few of those out there. A lot of these numbers have gone to 2 or have gone to 3 as the actions come in. When you get a week like that, what kind of teaser exposure are you looking at here this week?
You are going to get a little bit more teaser action involved. Again, just people, you know, a lot of, you know, the common teasers, of course, like 6.5 is a real common one. So if you're taking, a team, say a 3-point favorite down to +3.5, I mean, that's certainly attractive on, you know, on paper, in a case like we'll say the Panthers at home to the Chiefs, the Saints and the Broncos, stuff like that. So there's a lot of games involved where, those teasers will come and play. Typically, teasers and stuff like that are things that the public is going to play more than anyone else. So again, it comes down to bankroll management and stuff like that, and how much they have available, how much they want to throw out there. But yeah, I mean, you're bang on in terms of a lot of these games being so close to, you know, a pick in the three. The teasers are, you know, obviously very, very attractive at those prices and stuff like that. But I mean, on, you know, the other flip of the coin is when you get some, you know, big favorites and big dogs and stuff like that, you'll also see guys who, you know, look at numbers and say, wow, you know, I got to grab that. We're talking here Thursday night, and the line on the Baltimore Cleveland line has plummeted down to 7.5, but I mean, Cleveland, if you do say, you know, a 6.5, 7.5 point teaser and tease them up to 14.5 or whatever, it's like 2 touchdowns. That sounds pretty good still. On the other hand, with the Ravens, you tease them 6.5 or 7 down to like basically a pick 'em or a 1. It's also attractive. So, I mean, the name of teasers basically says it all, Adam. I mean, the numbers really look good when you tease them, that's for sure.
Well, I know that you've got college basketball starting up here on Friday. You've got basically everything except for baseball going on now for quite some time. So I hope that you keep loading up there on the Red Bull and the coffee. And Brent, as always, man, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week, buddy.
Have a great weekend, Adam.
Well, there you have it. There's the odds report this week with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. Always great to get his perspective on what's going on. That'll wrap it up. Really strong week here on Bang the Book Radio, I think. It was good to get Betting the Buckets back in the fold. Even worked in some NHL stuff here this week as well. So I think that our listeners really set up for success here this weekend. Coming up on Monday, Joe Everett of NFL Draft Bible with our NFL Week in Review and Monday Night Football Preview. And then our College Football First Look with Kyle Hunter of huntersportspicks.com for Week 12 of the season. That'll do it for us. Have a happy, smart, safe weekend. Thank you once again to our veterans out there. And I will talk to you again on Monday.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.